Hello and welcome to the Nebraska Prep Zone Report, a podcast from the Omaha World Herald. I'm your host, Jake Anderson. Joining me, as always, is the wonderful World Herald prep recruiting specialist, Mike Sauter. Mike, how are you doing today?
Good. You know, it's been a lot of, recruiting activity, if you will, over the last kind of week. So excited to kind of break down some of that.
There's been a lot of news that happened since we last recorded, so let's get to it. Let's kick things off, though, with state soccer. We had champions crowned earlier, Millard North and Elkhorn on the girls' side, and Kearney and South Sioux City on the boys' side. Millard North defeated Omaha Marion, and Kearney won their first state soccer title in school history.
The boys, yeah. So I wasn't able to make it to the girls' on Monday night, but I was at the Kearney game on Tuesday, and it was cool. It was kind of really cool. It was the first ever state champion to come for soccer to come from a non-Lincoln or Omaha school. So the first, and it was the first for Kearney, their first ever one too in school history. So we have a coach interview with Coach Steinbrook a little later that we'll play. And he was pretty excited about Kearney winning and the culture that they've created there.
Definitely a big deal for Kearney. And also of note, they took down the defending state champion, Omaha South. They took down Omaha Creighton Prep in the semifinals and Omaha Westside in the championship. Mm-hmm. Three power schools in Omaha.
Yeah, right. Three of the, if you say soccer in Nebraska, those three are pretty much right there every year in and year out, specifically Prep and South. So for Kearney to come in and do that, it's a pretty good feat, and they've kind of been building to it and to get to this point, making it to state. I think they've made it every year or something for the last handful of years in a row, and kind of broke through this year. So Coach Steinbrook kind of talks a little bit about that in the coach interview.
That was one thing he noted throughout the tournament as well, the culture they were building, that they weren't the most talented team. You couldn't consider them that with, your Omaha South, schools like that, but they fought hard.
Right. And he kind of touched on the multi-sport. That's kind of a hot topic right now, is the multi-sport athlete, and all of his team is pretty much all multi-sport athletes. Not necessarily all of them play year round soccer. So that's something that that he mentioned as well.
Also of note, South Sioux City on the boys' side won their first state title in 5 years.
Right. Yeah, runner-ups last year. It was a rematch, I believe, in Class B, and South Sioux came out the victor this time.
They got their revenge against Elkhorn South. On to state baseball. We're down to four teams in each class, but I wanted to touch on the in-state talent that's on display at the state tournament. You have Nebraska commits Kyle Perry, Colby Gomez, Shea Shaneman, making an impact. Dylan Phillips, a Kansas State commit. Talk a little bit about the in-state baseball talent in Nebraska.
So you have Drew Gillen, Kyle Perry from Millard South, Caleb Feakin, Colby Gomez, Shea Shaneman, and then Sawyer Diedrich, all Nebraska guys. They're all committed to Nebraska. There's been a lot of talk about, Nebraska doesn't recruit in-state talent and in-state kids. Well, that's pretty good. So, if you look at it, that's really good. Nebraska baseball, I would say, is in-state as far as in-state talent in baseball, it's one of the better, sports to produce Division I talent, if you will. Volleyball, I think, is probably number one. Girls soccer, I think, is two. I would put baseball probably at three, and basketball, football, boys on the boys' side probably at four or five, and girls basketball is in that mix as well too. So there's good enough athletes playing baseball in Nebraska. It probably deserves a little more attention. And that's, probably part of my job to get that done. But we'll see what we can do, maybe some Legion stuff. But It's good, and it has been good. Colby Gomes is really good. He touched 94, I think I saw something, just on a fastball. That's awfully good for a high school kid.
Fantastic.
That's awfully good.
And he's one that we noted earlier, that he's getting MLB draft interest.
Oh, yeah. It wouldn't shock me if he doesn't get drafted. I mean, he for sure. But I could see that happening for sure. There's no doubt. And Kyle Perry is a multi-sport kid, first team All-Metro basketball player, and you know, a really good baseball player, plays multiple sports, kind of like a Jake Myers type kid that used to play at Nebraska. So I could see him kind of fitting in kind of to that role, actually.
Who are some uncommitted guys to keep an eye on?
There's a handful. I mean, there's a lot of kids that I kind of lump into the uncommitted, like a Hunter Waugh from Omaha Burke. He's going to junior college. Uncommitted baseball is a little bit different. I consider those guys uncommitted that are going to junior colleges because they're technically not, you know, the 4-year deal. There's a ton, but the first one that kind of comes to mind is just Hunter Waugh at Omaha Burke, and they're playing again too. So
up next, we want to thank our sponsor, Premier Dental. Mike, tell us a little bit more about Premier Dental.
Yeah, Premier Dental is preventative and restorative care for you and your family. Let family-owned Premier Dental show you how easy it is to have the smile you have always wanted. At PremierDental.com, they can help you out with everything from sedation dentistry to pain-free sedation dentistry, stress-free dentist. It's a really neat place. The gals, when you walk in the door, are super friendly, offer you water and candy, mints, all those sort of things. So I've been out there to talk with them, and premierdental.com is where you can find them at.
A great place for your smile. Next, we have your stock report, and we had a bunch of guys commit, transfer, visit. I want to start with Sam Greisel and Creighton.
Sure.
What's the latest there?
Sam took an unofficial visit to Creighton last week. It sounds like Creighton's down to Sam and another high school wing player. I know that they also want a grad transfer. They have three left. I know that they're going to take a high school wing. It's basically between Sam and another player that is from out of state and could be a reclassification type situation there. So Sam's either Creighton, or I would say if Creighton doesn't offer him, I would expect something to happen this week on Sam and if he goes to Creighton or where he commits to. Just conversations with the people involved in that decision is that Sam is down to either, if Creighton offers, obviously, I think he goes there. If it's not Creighton, I think it's North Dakota State or Drake are the next two, with North Dakota State, I think, being the ultimate. If I had a crystal ball, I think that's what he does.
And what did he think of his visit to Creighton?
He liked it. I mean, he'd never been to Creighton other than for a state soccer game that he played in when he was, you know, played soccer at Lincoln East. And he'd been to a Creighton game once or twice in his life, but he'd never kind of seen the campus and been, you know, in the facilities. And it's clearly, obviously, the best facilities that he's seen or been in. So he liked everything about it. You know, the question is, does he shoot it well enough? Does he, you know, is he ready for kind of that big time environment? Because he clearly, you know, needs to get better at one, shooting from the 3-point line, and two, just kind of the physicality of it. But he's athletic and kind of fits their culture and what they like. I'm pretty sure he'd be a redshirt candidate and maybe not asked to play right away after that redshirt. It'd be kind of a project for them.
There's definitely a need there with Marcus Foster mm-hmm. graduating, mm-hmm. Kyrie Thomas entering the draft early, and
Ryan Harrell transferred as well, or graduate transfer as well.
Yeah, so Ronnie Harrell went to Colorado
Denver,
State.
Or Denver.
Denver,
yeah,
sorry.
Ronnie went to Denver.
Then Creighton has shown a history of developing Nebraska guys, in-state guys, Justin Patton, Kyrie.
Mm-hmm.
Could Greisel be one of those next guys?
Maybe. I'm not sure if he's, you know, this is no slight to him. I think he's great. I just, you know, I would say maybe. He's got some work to do. He wouldn't be a kind of overnight boom play right away or anything like that guy. I think it'd be kind of a project and you know, but if Creighton offers you, you can't really turn it down. So we'll see. Hopefully, you know, something will come up by the end of the week.
Also happening recently, Teddy Allen left West Virginia, mm-hmm. announced his transfer to Wichita mm-hmm. State.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Teddy is went to Boys Town and was the Gatorade Player of the Year in 2017. And, you know, he had a good season at West Virginia in his first year and decided he wanted to transfer to Wichita State. He kind of wanted to be closer to home or closer to Omaha, I guess. He grew up in Phoenix, so he's not. You know, technically, Omaha is kind of, I think, his home. Just liked kind of Wichita State. Was the only place that he took an unofficial or official visit to after, you know, getting his release from West Virginia. Felt comfortable with the culture there, felt comfortable with the fact that it's closer to home. He should have a pretty decent career there, I would say, because Teddy can score the ball. That's exactly what he can do, and everyone knows that.
And he seems a good fit for Wichita State's mm-hmm. culture. He'll have 3 years of eligibility
right,
left.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Redshirt yeah. year coming?
Yeah, well, you have to the transfer sit out year, so that'll be what's coming. And so he'll have 3 after that to play, yeah.
Also announcing his commitment, David Wingett went yeah. to Memphis.
Yeah, you know, that one, he kind of blew up. He played AU in the last live period in April. And, you know, he had a good weekend playing for team loaded out of Virginia or team loaded out of North Carolina. He really had a good weekend. He's long and athletic, and a lot of schools liked him, and a lot of schools started offering him. So he committed to Memphis. He took an official visit there early last week, you know, Sunday, Monday last week, and ended up, you know, committing there and signing his letter of intent there. And you know, if he hadn't have played that weekend of AAU basketball during the last live period in April, he would have ended up, I think, at South Dakota State. I think they pretty much had that one kind of wrapped up and felt like they did. And he had visited there as well. So, but he ended up at Memphis. It's probably a good fit. And there's a, you know, they're basically pushing the reset button there. So that's where David ended up.
Instead, he's joining Penny Hardaway's squad.
Right, right. So, there, I believe he has like six or seven. New faces on that team, and David will be one of them. So there's opportunity, obviously, there to kind of play early if he wants.
And there was one other in-state commit.
Gwick Arope, you know, graduated from Omaha South, spent a year at prep school in the Skill Factory in Atlanta. Got better. By all accounts, he got better at shooting everything he needed to. And ended up committing to San Diego State. You know, one time he was committed to Nebraska. And now he's San Diego State pledge. And that's a good fit. He'll do really well in the Mountain West, I think. He's awfully athletic, always has been. So that's funny too, is Agwuk was when Tubby Smith, before Memphis made the change, it looked like Agwuk was going to Memphis. And then now David's there and Agwuk's not, so it's just kind of weird. But
recruiting never stops.
Yeah, it's just a little different. But it's a good fitter for Agwuk, I would say. And it wouldn't shock me, you know, Ed Chang, who was at Papillion La Vista for 3 years, and not last year, but his first 3 years. San Diego State is also in the mix for him. He put out a top three schools of San Diego State, Ole Miss, and Nebraska. My gut feeling and just kind of people I've spoken with, I would say San Diego State is the leader for Ed. So you could have Ed Chang and Agwuk Arope, two names that a lot of people from Nebraska or that live in Nebraska, you know, recognize playing at San Diego State. Just touch on Ed real quick. You know, he's put those three schools out. You know, Ole Miss has a new coach in Kermit Davis. And San Diego State obviously has a connection with Aguik, and Aguik and Ed are close and friends. And Nebraska clearly, you know, checked in on Ed. Doesn't sound like there's been a whole lot of traction since then, as far as on both sides, maybe. So I think it ultimately it comes down to Ole Miss and San Diego State. With San Diego State, it's just my opinion, coming out the winner for Ed Chiang, if you will.
Interesting nugget there to wait and find out on. And I know that this comes back to the thing that you constantly harp on. There's in-state talent here for basketball.
Right. And I mean, just looking kind of and writing it kind of more in depth, I'll get more in depth, I think, in the writing piece. But looking at the 2017 class was kind of what made me look at it. In the 2017 class, if you go back, even after like a kid, maybe when junior college or whatnot, and just look at the names alone of people that either, you know, are recognizable names or people that. And people that graduated from here. I mean, there's a kid like an Aguirre Gao who is recognizable name, didn't graduate high school from Nebraska, but he's going on to a Division I school in Fresno State. Ayo Akinwole is at Omaha. Isaiah Poor Bear Chandler is at Wichita State. Logan Strom was at UC Davis, now transferred to Omaha. Aguik, obviously, we talked about. So there's, I think there's about eight or nine, Teddy Allen's known in 17. There's about eight or nine kids in that class. And just going through, and obviously there'll be more on this and writing the story, but going through the 2013, 14, and 15 classes, the minimum of Division I players that we had was five in each one of those classes, which is a lot more than kind of people think.
I know for certain that number surprised me.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot more than people think. Normally, I think the kind of average is 1, 2, 3. You know, there's only 1 year since 2013 that we've only had one, and that was 2016, and that's Tristan Simpson, who went to South Dakota. So the 17 class after that, I mean, there's an 18, I think, is going to be, you know, a handful as well. So there's a lot more talent here. There's more to come on that. I guess I'm teasing it, the story that I'm writing, but kind of taking a deep dive in the numbers and kind of where kids are at and where they ended up and, you know, where they're at now or where they ended up previously. And just kind of looking at the whole decade as a whole, basically, or the last kind of 5 years.
And I don't want to take away too much from that because I know that's going to be a very interesting deep dive. But I know that number, at the average of five, I know that compares highly favorably to the national average.
Yeah, I mean, the if you just look at the number of high school basketball players in the country, just overall in the country, I think that number is, at last year, was 541,000. And 1% of those end up playing Division I basketball. Well, our numbers and just the first initial glance is, I think there's something like, depends on the year, but anywhere from 5,000 to 7,000 kids that play high school basketball in Nebraska. So if we have five of those, that's a little higher than 1%. I mean, it just kind of varies. So I think the actual percentage numbers, when I end up breaking them all out, will show that Nebraska has more talent than the national average. That's kind of the point.
I think people will definitely be interested to see those numbers, and that story will be coming up then.
In the paper this weekend. Hopefully get it done tonight, tomorrow, something like that. It'll be online, you know, I would say Thursday probably.
Part of all your great content on nebhsrecruiting.com, mm-hmm. AAU recaps, recruiting reports, all that stuff. Now, let's get to that interview you had with Kearney coach Scott Steinbrook, and I know he was excited about Kearney's win.
Yep.
Coach, first ever state championship for anyone outside of the Omaha Metro, and Kearney's. What does it mean to you and or the city the program, all of that?
You know, I think when you're a relatively small community, by Class A mm-hmm. standards, you're a smaller school, smaller community. We take a lot of pride in when we have an opportunity to compete for state championships. Our football team had a shot at one this year. Mm-hmm. Our basketball team had a tremendous run. Our wrestlers got second at the big meet and ended up winning the dual championship. And then we gave it a run here in soccer and were able to come out on top. But the whole community, the whole school rallies around. You know, coaches are very supportive. I hope that small town atmosphere never disappears, because it's just something special. Yes, we are Class A. Yes, we're technically a big school, but we have this great small town feel where everybody takes a lot of pride in the successes of our kids and our programs. And it couldn't happen to a nicer group of kids. Yeah. Like, these kids are genuinely amazing, amazing young men.
When you've been doing this a long time.
I have 19 years coaching soccer.
What is this state championship? Is like a culmination of, you know, all the hard work, or is it more just? I know you're going to focus it more, throw it back on the kids, but
yeah.
For you personally, this is 19 years of a lot of blood, sweat, tears into it.
Yeah, the first word that comes to mind is just culture. You know, mm-hmm. it took, you know, Kearney High had a great soccer tradition in the mid 90s. And then there was a gap there where things weren't going as well. My first year was 2000, and honestly, my first 5 or 6 years, we had great kids, but we just struggled to compete at a high level. Didn't make our first state tournament until 2005. But as the soccer culture started to grow and build, you know, then it was just that feeling of tradition, that getting down here was the expectation. And then once getting down here was the expectation, advancing was the expectation. Then in 2009, we advanced to the final game, and we're like, oh my gosh, this dream of potentially winning a state championship in boys soccer could become a reality. And then that was 10 years ago. And we've been here every year, almost every year since then, except one. We've been in the semifinals, but just haven't been back to that final game. You know, so to get back here and then play the three teams that we played to win a state championship, you know, part of that trophy obviously is for these guys right now on the 2018 team, but part of it is to those guys in the early years that helped to kind of build and rebuild that tradition and that culture of Kearney High soccer. This group just took it to a whole nother level by having the tournament that they had here in the last week or so.
And the last one is, you guys don't have just straight soccer kids, right? I mean,
no,
Carson Shores plays bass. I mean, you have a bunch of multi-sport kids.
Yeah.
How important is that for you guys to win this with those type of kids?
Yeah, our style of play is never going to be as technical. It's never going to be as pretty as some of the other teams that we play. But I wouldn't trade the competitiveness and that grit that these guys have. And that's not developed playing year-round club soccer. That grit and that competitiveness is developed playing high school football. It's developed playing high school basketball. It's developed wrestling and doing other activities. You know, these guys are involved in a lot of stuff. So I can't be more proud of the amount of time they invest around the clock in a lot of different things. Some of these guys, I get him for 3 months.
Right.
Hunter Novacek, going to UNK to play football, I get him for 3 months. But when he's playing soccer for 3 months, there's nobody that plays harder. And I could go on down the list. Some of these guys will play some club in the fall, maybe a little bit indoor in the wintertime, but the vast majority of them are balancing a lot of different things. But that competitiveness is what probably helped put us over the top this year.
Wow, you can definitely tell what we talked about earlier. Steinberg was excited about that win, the culture they built there, a lot of great stuff.
You mentioned the multi-sport athlete thing, and that's important for a smaller-ish town. They have that small-town culture, but a Class A school. So it's really, really cool.
Definitely a big moment for them. To wrap things up here, let's beat the buzzer. Let's talk a little bit about Khyree Thomas staying in the NBA draft, signing with an agent. How do you think that this speaks, again, I don't want to harp on it too much, but the in-state talent, this will be back-to-back years of a Nebraska player, Justin Patton last year, Thomas this year, likely, because it hasn't happened yet, likely being selected in the NBA draft.
Yeah, so if Khyree is a first-round pick, I mean, that's never happened before, where two Nebraskans, one, even if you break that down even further, you go Creighton, and break that down even further, you go OPS kids, break that down, I mean, full OPS, break that down even further, you go kids that grew up in North Omaha, two of them drafted back-to-back years. That's never obviously happened before.
Never happened before.
So we have that. And then there's only been five Nebraskans drafted in the NBA draft ever in the history of the NBA draft. So having two in back-to-back years is extremely rare. I've clearly never been done before, and pretty awesome. There are 15 Nebraskans people that were born in Nebraska, 15 that have played in the NBA. And that includes even like a Fred Hoiberg, who was born in Lincoln, and that was about it. So yeah. They didn't go to high school here or anything like that. So he's in that 15 number. So it's an extremely rare thing to have two Nebraskans that were, you know, graduate high school, and, you know, that we can kind of claim them as people that as kids that, to be drafted in the NBA draft. It's really, really, really cool.
It's an exclusive club, and it also speaks to their individual hard work and how they improved their game.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Creighton made them better or developed them to get where they were. Kyrie was one of the best defenders, if not the best
all
defender
Big
in the
East
state. Yeah,
back-to-back years.
Even in high school, he was just like that. I mean, same kind of player. Granted, he's developed himself and gotten bigger. And I think that year at prep school for Kyrie really helped him as well. It matured him both on and off the court, and matured his body and kind of helped him grow up a little bit. So he needed that year, and it was very good for him. It was great for him, actually. And you can't discredit that year that he had at that prep school. Went to Fork Union in Virginia. You can't discredit that at all.
The talent was always there. He was our All-Nebraska captain in 2013. The year at prep school, he worked hard at Creighton. 2014.
Right.
I'm getting ahead of myself there. And, you know, he's following the path that a few Nebraska guys are following now. Sharif Mitchell, namely, going to that prep school and taking that year to mature.
Right. And Sharif needs a little size and really just needs to add some weight. And I'm sure he'll do that. He's headed to Sunrise Christian. So I'm sure he'll be fine and get that done. And that's about all he's missing, is just kind of the weight. And being able, when I say weight, is being able to take the physicality every night in and night out playing in the Big East or playing in the Big Ten. Your skills can be there. It's just a matter of, is your body there? You know what I mean? If you're just taking that physical pounding two, three games a week, it's a lot. And practice every day and shoot arounds and all those things that kids have never done. It's a lot. It's really hard.
It's a big adjustment. You see it every year. The freshmen that come in and play as true freshmen, you see it every year in January, when conference play is going, that they feel the grind.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's just something it's hard. There's a freshman wall. I mean, even I think I go back to even Kyrie, for example. He hit kind of a freshman wall after his prep school year at Creighton. He kind of hit a wall. It happens to everyone pretty much. So same thing kind of happens for guys in the NBA. Their first year as rookies, you kind of hit a wall. It just happens, and that's why it's important to physically be where you need to be to be able to play night in and night out and take that kind of physical pounding that it requires.
But definitely a great moment for Kyrie Thomas and
no doubt
high school basketball here in Nebraska. That's all we have for today. We want to thank you for listening. And you can check us out on omaha.com/podcast, iTunes, anyprepzone.com, or wherever you get get your podcasts. Hit that subscribe button. And until next time, thanks for listening.